Welcome to She Should Know podcast with your hosts,
Dr. Sara Hamida
and Alima Sara Ahmed.
You're sitting with a Muslim female physician and a Muslim female scholar, the co-directors of Empower Health, where we dive deep into all things related to women's wellness, mind, body, and soul from our experiences and expertise.
Let's get into it, y'all. These episodes are made possible through your donations. If you like the work we do, please become a sustainer at empowerhealth.org to magnify this work, educating, enabling, and empowering our community. That's empowerhealth.org.
This episode picks up where we left off in part one.
Bismillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. My friend, Dr. Sara Hamida, how are you doing?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuhu. It feels like a minute.
It does feel like a minute. Subhanallah, we are recording a week or so after Eid, post Ramadan.
2024
for the archives. and it does feel like a while because we just had a pause. We shifted gears and we focused on Ramadan work.
Yeah, we went all in.
We went all in, alhamdulillah, trying to expand our work on social media platforms. Check out our Instagram page if you get a chance, empower_health, where we posted daily videos concerning different matters, medical and fiqh for Ramadan that usually people have questions on, which was really nice.
Yeah. Alhamdulillah.
And I think
it was a good chance for us to be also a little bit more, I think, in touch with women in the moment, with what they were experiencing through the month, and
very
to like
true.
Try to be, a resource in that time. As quickly as possible. And so that was a really lovely experience. And then also, man, shout out to the sustainers because y'all came through. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. I'm pretty sure this is the last time we're going to be recording on our basic equipment. We will be upgrading our podcast equipment very soon to some versatile tools, inshallah.
To the appropriate tools.
To the appropriate tools, let's be honest. Alhamdulillah, we're grateful for where we are, but the growth, I think, is going to be exponential. And I think you guys are going to see the benefit of your efforts and your support very, very, very soon. We're excited to implement that and just apply it, inshallah.
Not just for equipment and such, but actually to let us access more minds and people on the mic, and to bring in resources, human people and experts across the nation, and to start putting together a schedule where we can tap into them and bring them in here.
Absolutely. So we're very excited for that work. Thank you. Jazakumullah khairan. May Allah accept from everyone who supported in the month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase your intentions and your giving, and just multiply the reward in this world and the next.
Inshallah.
Alhamdulillah, man.
Yeah.
So we are, I think, as the henna fades, you know, and the month starts to fade as well, it's really, really important actually to have this session and talk about what we just experienced, because I like to look at Ramadan like when you're racing, it's a racetrack. It is in one way taking you out of autopilot. So it's a starting line, but it's also the finish line, right? We as Muslims, what Ramadan represents for us is much more than just a month of fasting, and it's just a month in the year. It's more like the rejuvenation, the new year, the month of beginnings and ends, and then again the circuit continues. It's where we touch base, and it keeps us grounded for the rest of the year. So
it's like when you're a snake and you gotta shed that skin because you just grew.
Yeah.
Right? So you gotta shed that skin, and this is the new baby skin, and this is the growth point for the next coming year, inshallah.
And so our Ramadan should never actually ideally look like this nothingness, this static line, and then all of a sudden there's this huge burst, and then it's back to flatlining again.
Yeah.
You know.
But I will say, I heard this from so many friends across multiple circles. It wasn't like coming from one social circle or another, that people were knowing this Ramadan was going to feel different.
Sure.
It was less festive. It was less focused on iftars and social gatherings, and a lot more grounded in just spiritual growth.
Absolutely.
And connection with the Quran and ibadah.
Absolutely.
And I think that obviously makes sense given the global context right now that
Correct.
We're still working through. We're still day in and day out, not done watching the horrors in Gaza. And so I think that definitely provided like a framework
Correct.
For people to come into this month on a somber note,
1,000%.
On a spiritual note.
Yeah. And also just a shift from the dunya puts on a really, the world, it puts on, the worldly life puts on a really nice, beautiful mask, right? For all of us. And it's good at tricking us and deceiving us into a reality that just isn't what it actually is. And what has happened is the shift is because that mask has been removed.
Yeah.
It's been taken away and all of us have been shaken to an entirely different reality. And that reality is not encompassed by what this world can provide. It is a reality of the akhirah, the next life, because we have been watching day in and day out. People, they are straight up the people of Jannah. These are the people of Jannah that we are watching their character and the words that they utter are not of this world. They don't have, there's nothing tethering them here. Yeah. Their losses immediately, they attribute it to God and they attribute it to the next life and saying things like, say salam to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for me. So it makes us all think like, man, where are we at? Where are they at? And what am I missing? You know,
yeah.
like what's something's off here. It makes you contemplate on the self, on the soul, on that connection that we have, because it's like a reflection that we're looking into, right?
Yeah.
And it's murky. We're trying to dust it off. Like, hang on. I don't think I have this vision right.
Yeah. I feel like just generally speaking, every communal event that I went to, every tarawih I went to, the observation of watching community members take their shahada.
Yes.
It just had a different feel this year.
In drones.
Yeah.
In herds. Like
yes.
they just were, subhanAllah, there's a verse in the Quran, Surah Nasr, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. And when you start to witness people entering the fold of Islam أَفْوَاجًا, like the waves of an ocean.
Yeah, subhanAllah.
فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّ. And Allah SWT was telling them, just سَبِّحْ, say the praise of God. بِحَمْدِكْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ. You know, like remember God in those moments,
yeah.
you know. And you're just watching that literally just unfold before your own eyes every single day without hesitancy, without doubt, either online or in person. We're watching shahadas just taking place
yeah.
left and right. I think that's also a testament to when you, this is the whole concept of catastrophic events bring out either the worst in people or the best in people,
yeah.
or they shake people to come to the surface of a reality quicker.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
No.
Yeah, I'm even now, I'm just like mentally remembering some of the dua that I would hear, especially at the end of witr.
Mm.
And, you know, in each tarawih, I mean, every time that prayers were going up for Gaza and other communities, obviously,
Absolutely.
You know, this is not the only travesty that's going on that is being bared by the shoulders of our Muslim brethren. But, just thinking about some of those moments just brings tears to your eyes. Just, I mean, it was so sincere this year. I felt very lucky to tether my own du'as to my du'as for those people, because it just magnifies your sincerity so much
Correct.
When you are tapping into that collective pain.
Correct.
And those types of windows are not, you have to see the light in that pain. There's a benefit in being brought to your knees and
Absolutely.
To shed tears for your brothers, and that sincerity that opens in your heart. If you don't take advantage of that and then ask for your own forgiveness in those moments, then like you are missing an opportunity.
Not only that, but it's also a disservice to them, because this is an ibrah. This is a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending you through a people. And we know this, so like in the Quran, it says that through people, sometimes we send you examples.
Yeah.
You know? And if we don't take from that, we don't take those lessons from them, like that's a disservice to them. Look at what they're showing you. And in inshallah, this is all sadaqah jariyah, continuous charity on their behalf, on behalf of their family members. This is something that's going to benefit them in this world and in the next life, which is, you know, even more opportunistic, you know?
Inshallah, ya Rab.
Inshallah.
Yeah. I'm wondering how this was for you experiencing the next Ramadan after the passing of your grandmother.
Yeah.
Did you come into this month with trepidation?
Sure.
Or did you spend any time like kind of unpacking that alone?
Sure. So this is going to be year two, I think almost year three. That this was, yeah,
SubhanAllah. Are you kidding me?
I'm not even joking, Sada. That's how fast time flies.
I don't even.
Yeah, it's been, this is the third Ramadan.
No way.
I know. I had to look back too, because that's how blurry, like, time. I'm like, what is time?
You
know,
yeah, what is time?
SubhanAllah. But again, like, that's, it's still very fresh.
Yeah.
It's still so relevant. It's still so grounding. Because, and I say that because the biggest thing I take from that is that we are not guaranteed the next one. I'm literally, I can sit there and think to myself, I'm like, this Ramadan doesn't have my grandmother in it.
Yeah.
She's not, you know, opening the Quran and reading her usual recitations, and she doesn't have her subhah in her hand, and she's not, we would see her all the time, and I'm like, she's not here for it in this worldly life. She's not here for it. Allahumma balighna Ramadan, the dua that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make around the time when Ramadan would start approaching makes so much sense. That, ya Allah, let us reach Ramadan. You just don't know. And we witnessed, even in our Dallas community, some deaths of young people in their 20s who passed away a week before Ramadan was coming. And so it just brought these things home in ways where examples are, that's like the best teacher. You know what I mean? Like when you witness it and it really makes you think, it's like, oh my goodness, if I make it to this thing, ya Allah, I want to take advantage of it. I might not get it again, you know? So already I think there's that grounding factor of like, okay, this might be my last one.
Yeah.
I might not get another one.
And I will say there were also a handful of deaths amongst individuals who you just didn't necessarily see it coming.
Absolutely.
And of course, whenever you see somebody pass during that time, there's a bittersweet component to it, right? Because we have this association of that being a blessed passing to a certain extent, inshallah. But it reminds you of the fact that it's coming whether you're prepared for it or not.
1000%. And the one thing I can say that was like just the common thread of everyone who we know has either passed before Ramadan, in the month of Ramadan, like my grandmother was like literally people were having the khatams in the last couple of days, and she was doing her own kind of khatam. You know, she was leaving this worldly life.
Yeah.
Last couple of days of Ramadan, and even deaths that follow Ramadan, like we just lost a very beloved family friend. His young son of 13 just passed away, you know, yesterday night. Okay. And that's just piggybacking off of Ramadan. Like, it's barely, Eid is almost like literally barely over.
Yeah.
And in all of these people, of the person who passed away that we know of in his youth, who was about 20 years old, a local Dallas community member, he was coming back from Friday prayer. That's what people were saying of him. You know, he had just finished his gahf, and he finished Jumu'ah Salah, and he passed away. Grandmother, same way. They were talking about her, how her Quran was folded up, and she never used to put her Quran away completely. Like, she would always like just put it away, like she would close it and put it on the shelf, because her habit was so, it was so regular that it was going to only be a couple of hours before she's going to pick it up again. So she wouldn't put it in its, you know, the cloth wrappings that they would put it in, the cultural nice, you know, wrappings. She wouldn't put it away in that because it was going to be, inconvenient to open it again.
Yeah.
That day she passed away, it had been put away inside the wrapping.
SubhanAllah. Mm-hmm. Don't make me cry, yo.
Well, I'm sorry. You know, we're here. It just, those things. And then this little boy, this young Ilyas who passed away yesterday night, they were just playing a recitation of his Quran and how much he loved reciting it. And I'm like, SubhanAllah, look at the qualities that are grounding all of these people. We're friends of Allah. You know, he's calling home his friends, like, it's truly, like, there's no other connection that makes sense. You know what I mean? That makes it just click.
Yeah.
You know, because there's always going to be this piece with these losses, like why now?
Yeah.
Why not? You know what I mean? Yeah. Why this age? Why this time? What could we have done to prevent this? All the shoulda, woulda, couldas that come with it. It will never fill that void. It will never make sense.
Yeah.
You know? So that's why for the believer, like the true believer, like the essence of death is actually a calling home.
Yes.
And so I think that the deaths that have revolved around this, and then just magnify that times 1,000 with what's happening overseas, what's happening in Gaza, what's happening in Sudan, what's happening in Congo. It just magnifies that concept of where we're going.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely.
So it's all grounded in the same lessons. We're just enveloped in them right now.
Yes. Yeah. And may we all be taken, you know, with the last of our deeds being the best of our deeds.
I mean.
You know?
I mean, ya Rabbi. With that said, I want to touch on something that we discussed in our pre-Ramadan workshop. When we talked about Ramadan, there was something that was really, I think, important. And it kind of made my experience, especially the year that my grandmother passed away, which is like, what do we consider to be our best Ramadan and our worst Ramadan? Like, quote unquote, you know what I mean? Like every Ramadan is blessed. The month itself is a blessing, but our experience of it, how we are coming to it, how we finish it, what actually makes that?
Yeah, I think it's obviously a very individual experience. And I think that we saw that reflected in the room too. But, I mean, long story short, it wasn't very difficult for people to recognize that during their hardest experiences personally, they ended up having the most rewarding, most beautiful Ramadans. And, I can say that personally, certainly. And I hope inshallah that people feel like this Ramadan of 2024, with the pain that we collectively felt for our brothers and sisters in Gaza, in Sudan, the Uyghurs, everybody in Congo, that cloud that sits in our heart allows us to tap into our highest spiritual investment.
Right.
Because that is that direct inverse relationship. You know,
absolutely.
I understand that there are people who, when times get tough, they get distant from God.
Right.
But alhamdulillah, that's never been my experience.
Alhamdulillah.
Those have been the times. If, in fact, when I've had my most, I don't know, my most quote unquote emotional crises, like when, in my lowest of lows, when I was dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the year following that, was rough because I was in a better place emotionally and I was kind of ready for that that same level of spiritual energy,
high
investment. And it did not hit the same. And I was like, you know, alhamdulillah for the dynamics, because it just lets you appreciate when you feel that closeness.
Correct.
And also you can't like spend your entire life living at that intensity. There has to be flow.
If there isn't flow, like literally, like we say that, if there was no suffering, no lows, we would be in Jannah.
Yeah.
That's not what this world's about.
Right.
That is literally does not define this world, you know, to have that. So, I think another thing here is knowing, you know, they say about catastrophic things and things that force you into a place of, you have to be patient. You're suffering. Suffering. How do we know that it's, and people ask us a lot, like, how do we know it is not a punishment from God that you're going through this travesty and it's actually a gift or something that has, a beauty in it, right? Reward in it. And the defining factor is, did it bring you closer to God or did it distance you from God?
Yep.
That's it. And so I say this because we're all going to go through things. Watching how you navigate it, where you're going once you're in it, and where it's taking you is so important.
Yep.
That is where, subhanAllah, some things are emotions. Again, they're not things that we can control. And this is actually why we say we don't worship our emotions, like based on our emotions. When I feel like it, I'm going to pray. When I don't feel like it, I'm not going to pray.
Mm-hmm.
Because that we're going to always be going through, like you said, the rise and the fall. But what we do have control of is where we go with it, right? Where we carry ourselves, right? The discipline that it takes is not an easy one.
Yeah. And you need discipline actually in both directions.
Mm-hmm.
You need discipline when times are good,
mm-hmm.
because it could be really, you could be chill, very chill. And it takes a different type of discipline in good times.
SubhanAllah.
And a different kind of discipline for the patience and the dedication in your supplication.
Yep.
When times are not good.
1000%. And that's why we say, like, the Muslim, he rows his boat with two oars, the sabr. When the times are difficult, he has patience. When the times are good, he also attributes that to God, and he goes to God with gratitude.
Gratitude.
And so that's how the boat rows. You can't just row with sabr. You're only being patient and only going to God during patience. You're going to go in a circle with that one oar. You need both oars to row you forward. In good times and in bad times. And that's why they say, like, the state of the mu'min is so grounded. It's such a beautiful state because regardless of what the circumstances, good or bad, he can attribute it to God.
And you can, like, tell how essential that mindset is because you hear all kinds of social media influencers trying to talk about, you know, get your sense of gratitude
sure.
on, right? That presence of mind.
Yeah.
But there's something very, like, when it's authentic, it is transformative.
1000%.
To be grateful. This is definitely the essence, I think, of the Muslim.
1000%.
So what were some of your actions this month that you think, what kept you grounded? What worked you through the month? What is the thing that, like, you could rely on?
You know what? This month was a little bit different. This was our first time really, like, co-directing Empower in the month of Ramadan and hosting events and also hosting more things on our online platform. Definitely, like, I knew already going into it, hey, this is going to be more dynamics in this month for sure. But I heard, I think it was Sheikh Yasser Burgess, he was talking at Knowledge Retreat a couple weeks prior to it. And they were having a session on basically, like, you know, the servitude, like, from the imam's perspective on community and things of that sort. And he literally said, he's like, you know, people ask me, like, you know, what the things that you're going to do in Ramadan, like your favorite things in Ramadan. He's like, my Ramadan is actually the month before or the month after. And he's saying that because the worship, he's like, the worship I get to do as a leader of the community, I don't get that time in the month of Ramadan.
Yeah.
Because a lot of that goes into servitude. However, he says, you channel that because servitude, serving the ummah, serving the people and being there for them in that capacity is also ibadah.
Absolutely.
And so I think that it's the mindset of worship can look like so many different things. Become intentional.
Yeah.
Really hone in on what that means and don't lose that thread and keep refreshing your intention. Like, no, this too is ibadah. This too is worship. And so once I kind of accepted that piece, then it was like, okay, we're posting, content and, inshallah, this is beneficial. And then we see people's responses come in and the questions we're answering. And subhanAllah, some are immediate. They give you that gratification and that feeling of I'm doing good work and inshallah, this is accepted. You know, when you see the jazakallah, thank you so much. This made it so much easier situations. But that kind of, like, led me into the month. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to be okay if I don't meet the other criterion that I have set for myself in previous Ramadans. Yeah. I might not meet them. I was kind of already there because, like, I'm riding motherhood right now. Anyways, I've been humbled so many Ramadans, okay, with my, like, goals not being.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is the advice that you've been giving mothers and women in general because, like, our months don't look like the brothers.
No, they don't. And, oh my gosh, subhanAllah, I wonder if the sister tunes into the podcast. It was somebody who had come to Qalam. I had gone to Umrah with her a year or two prior, and she was actually expecting at that time, and she brought her baby. And I saw her at the masjid and she had the tiny little thing wrapped up. And our conversation was like, it like broke my heart really because she was so she was just like, I can't do anything. Like if I can get, cause I was like, let me hold the baby. If you want to go do some stuff, go do some stuff. You know, I'm chilling. And she's like, really? Cause can I go pray like two rak'ah, like
wow.
with Jama'ah? I would be like, my night would be made. Oh. And like, it like, you know what I mean? That feeling inside. Yeah. And so she was so happy to get that, because she's like, I'm not used to not doing anything in the month of Ramadan. And I had to sit her down. I was like, hang on for a second. I just need to make sure that you know that every ounce that you're putting into this child right now, you raising a member of the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this addition that you added to the Muslims, is ibadah. My father used to tell me this too when my kiddos were a lot younger, that anything besides your fard, right, that your obligations, this is your extra. This is your nafl. This is your ibadah. Anything besides what you have to do, this is all the extra. The children, the raising of them is your nafl ibadah, your extra ibadah. And the other thing with her was also just the nursing, right? Yeah. It just takes so much strength. She's like, I'm fasting. I'm not fasting. I tried. This wasn't working. I tried to fast. It's the supply and all that. I'm like, that every ounce you're giving to your child, you're nourishing. Again, every ounce of that is also ibadah. Like you have to. And she didn't know that. So it really, I watched the transformation just on her face from honing into that. And she's already doing it, but the intention. That was the only thing.
But you know, something very beautiful that you did there in the moment was to offer some support.
All right.
Like you recognize another woman with a small child and said, hey, let me share this experience. And that is what women, I mean, listen, I want brothers to get there. Don't get me wrong. I really want brothers to get there. But like, that is the thing that I think sisters do effortlessly.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you would like to support the She Should Know podcast and the work we do at Empower Health, hit that subscribe button and share this episode with someone else that should know. To catch the latest from us, you can follow us on Instagram at empower_health. That's EMPOWHER_health. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.